Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This lesson is lesson number 4 on the nature and the attributes of God. Having pointed out that we shall not fully understand God, we can know that God is spirit, not physical, that God is invisible, as would be expected of a spirit, that God is a person and that he lives. There is one God, though in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've learned that God is self-existent, that God is eternal. We've learned of the immensity and the vastness of God, as well as the omnipresence of God. And our last lesson was focused upon the omnipotence of God, the all-powerful, almighty God. And now we turn to the attribute and the characteristic of God, that God is omniscient. In Psalm 147 and verse 5, great is our God and of great power. His understanding is infinite. In other words, there is nothing that God cannot know. He can know whatever he chooses to know. Now, whether God exercises his ability to know all things, that's a matter of dispute. We do not profess to be able to answer such things as that. There are those that contend if God knows the future or chooses to know the future, then that's the way things are going to be, and regardless of what man does, therefore, they contend God withholds his own knowledge from some things in order to make man the ability to have his own choices. Well, that gets into deep philosophical speculations. These things are not revealed to us. We have to accept the possibility that God may not exercise his full power of knowledge, just as he doesn't always fully exercise his physical and spiritual power at all times. But this in no way impugns the contention of the infinite, omniscient God. We repeat, if his knowledge is limited at all, like his other attributes, is limited by himself and of himself and according to his will and his own nature, and we have to admit that we cannot know to what extent God may choose to know and not to know. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about his ability to know. God can know whatever God chooses to know. And because of the omniscience of God, man is unable to deceive God. In Galatians 6, 7, and 8, God is not mocked. You see, man cannot hide from God, nor can he hide his deeds from God, whether good or evil. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, Proverbs 15:3. He sees in darkness and in light, Daniel chapter 2. He sees in every place, Psalm 139. The thoughts of a man's heart are known to him, 1 Corinthians 4. Nothing is covered from him, Job 26. Even the hairs of your head are numbered, Matthew 10. Therefore, we can concur with Moses, be sure your sins will find you out, Numbers chapter 32. Friend, time is of no consequence to God. God knows the past, he knows the future, Isaiah 46. God's knowledge of the future is foreknowledge. He foreknew many things. He prophesied them. He planned them. He promised them. Does God's foreknowledge predetermine? Well, this again is a matter of great dispute. We're getting into areas where there is not revelation. Some contend that prescience or foreknowledge is that which does not cause things to happen. But this is really not the point that we're talking about. If his knowledge is perfect, and it is, whether it causes things to happen or not, and this we do not know, if his knowledge is perfect regarding what he chooses to know, things must be as God knows they will be. That's a foregone conclusion. Things will be just like God knows they will be. But this raises other questions. Does God choose to determine everything about the future that he otherwise could know? Now, this may remain unanswered. I don't profess to be able to try to answer certain things of God. Have not we emphasized in studying the nature and the attributes of God that we are limited? We are not going to fully understand all there is to know about God. For instance, this question, did God know that man would sin, or know that man could sin and therefore made preparation for it? Well, who can dogmatically tell? I'll not venture into that area. We must contend that man cannot know, nor does he need to know, all that God may know about the future. Certainly God knew of man's ability to sin. Therefore, he could know of the possibility, maybe even the probability, if not the reality, that man would sin. Such is his knowledge of the future in anything. Because of what God knew about the future of man, he made provision for man's redemption even before the foundation of the world, even before man existed. Ephesians chapter 1. And this, by the way, is a manifestation of God's love as well as his omniscience. But cannot God choose not to know something about the future if he chooses to do that? Yes, he can make that choice, just as he can choose not to always use his power the same way. God knows the possible, God knows the probable, God knows the actual, if he chooses to know. That's what we mean by the omniscience of God. God can know whatever he chooses to know. Or does God know who will be saved or lost? Now we know he has already declared which class of persons will be saved or lost. Those that do his will be saved. Those who don't, won't. Now as for specific individuals, whether God knows that or not, I cannot tell. Because whether I will do his will or not is my decision. It does seem reasonable to think that if God knows I'll be saved or lost, it's going to be that way regardless of what I do. And that smacks too much of Calvinism predestination, and that removes man being a responsible person for his own destiny. But we must admit the omniscience of God in whatever matter he chooses to know, and to whatever extent he chooses to know. And God knows that those who do his will be saved. And God knows those that don't, won't. We need to appreciate that fact. We need to understand that. As with God's omnipresence and God's omnipotence, the omniscience of God is a comfort to those who love and serve him. But it also serves as a warning to those who do not. Now, friend, there be those who deny the existence of God. But they can never prove that God does not exist, and I'm going to tell you why. Because of the omnipresence and the omnipotence and the omniscience of God, man can never prove that God does not exist. Man would have to be omnipresent, lest God be at the very place where man was not. Man would have to be omnipotent, lest the one power man lacked might be the power of God. Man would have to be omniscient, lest the one thing that man did not know is the existence of God. In other words, man would have to become the very God that he was trying to deny exists. Now, this truth is a fatal blow to all the claims of atheism, and it ought to open the eyes of those who are agnostic and doubtful. Furthermore, the Bible speaks that God is immutable, that is, he is unchangeable. The Scriptures teach that there is no variable, neither shadow of turning regarding God. James 1 and verse 17. Malachi 3:6, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Now this is said with regard to his power, Romans chapter 4, and his plans and his purposes. My counsel shall stand, God said. And this includes his promises. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. It is also said of his justice. Shall not the justice of God rule the world? It is indeed his true love and mercy that it will not change. His mercy is everlasting. It endureth forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not changeable like man, Numbers 23. And if God changed his nature, he would not be God. Any change in his nature would invalidate the rest of his nature. He cannot change for the worse, lest he become imperfect. He cannot change for the better because he's already perfect. He cannot be more or less than he is. His very nature allows for no development or growth or self-evolution or improvement. Of necessity, he is the same in the Old Testament as in the New Testament, and away with this false concept that the Old Testament presents one God and the New Testament presents another different kind of God. That's simply not so. Well, since God does not change and He is the same, how do we understand God repenting? How do we understand God changing His mind? How do we understand God changing covenants? Well, there are things that the changeless God changes. Immutability does not mean that God never changes His mind nor His covenants. Some commands of God, you see, are conditional. The blessings given are conditional, and the consequences of disobedience are stated. But when there is obedience, the changeless nature of God is that God will change His mind about the consequences. God is not like stone. He's more like mercury, which changes according to the variations in the character and conduct of men. For instance, the events about Jonah and Nineveh, they serve as a classic demonstration of God changing His mind. God was going to destroy those people in 40 days, but the people changed their mind. They repented, and God therefore changed His mind. But His ability to change His mind is a part of His changeless nature. God gave Israel a covenant, but now He speaks to man through Christ and His new covenant. Well, this was always God's plan. God did not change His intent regarding that. And to have changed covenants, why, that was simply following the changeless God's plan. To have not changed covenants would have been contrary to His changeless nature. It was God's unchangeable plan that the covenants would change. Yes, God is unchanging in that He changes with prescribed and unchangeable limits, according to conditions that He, of course, has determined. The change of attitude toward a person occurs when a sinner repents and when he comes to God through Christ. Moses changed the mind of God about destroying Israel, but such was possible because God changes. He changes His mind when men change their direction, and that's according to the changeless nature of God. God changes His operations only on the basis of unchangeable principles. And this is why we learn so much from God's dealings with Old Testament men and events. If there would not be any change of God in any circumstance, then we certainly could not learn anything from the things of the past. The fact that we can learn from the past underscores the changelessness of God. And like His other non-moral attributes that we have discussed, what and how He changes things is always according to His changeless will. Yes, God is immutable. God will not change. Immutability means God is unchangeable in purpose to hear and to answer prayer properly directed toward Him. Now, we know that prayer changes things. One has written that prayer changes things. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. This is true. And that's because God has determined that prayer changes things. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God is faithful. God is dependable. God is reliable. God is trustworthy. Man can count on God, and God will perform all that He has said that He will perform. What He has promised, He was able also to perform, Romans 4 and verse 21. The fact is, the unchangeable God has decreed an unchangeable truth, that prayer changes things. Now, this attribute of immutability is a source of confidence and courage and comfort to those who love and serve God. But like His other attributes, it should serve as a warning to those who do not serve God. And at this point, we shall leave our study of the nature of God, and we shall return in the next lesson with a discussion of the moral attributes of God, qualities that man, to the extent that man follows God, can imitate God, qualities that man, to a limited degree, can be like God. Now, these non-moral qualities that we have mentioned, His omnipresence, His immensity and vastness, His eternal nature, being self-existent, God in three persons, God being omnipotent, all of these things that we study here about the unchangeableness of God, man cannot possibly attain that. They are unique to deity. but the moral qualities are presented to us so that we might become sons of God and be likened to the Father. And before we complete this study, I want us to see some of the things that Jesus said about God, because after all, part of the mission of Christ was to reveal God to man, so that we may know Him to the very best of our ability. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.